As we open up God's Word this morning, and I'll direct you to the text in just a moment. I think it's on the PowerPoint slide as well. I want to open in prayer. Father, as we worship you, we thank you that you want us to. You desire that expression of love directed toward you for who you are. For your loving kindness endures forever. Great is your faithfulness. We worship you in spirit and in truth. And we come with open hearts just to meet you once again in a special way as we gather together here at Olympic Free Church. Lord, speak to our hearts. I pray that your Holy Spirit would just dig deeply into our very souls and bring the message that you have for us. May at the end of the day, people forget the messenger, but remember the message, the Word of God, and the power of God in our lives and in the life of the church. So we commit this time to you with thankfulness in our hearts, in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the joys Marty and I have had is to commute back, probably on a weekly basis, to Linden, take a ferry ride over, either down through Port Townsend to Coopville or over Kingston to Edmonds, one way or another. It depends on a lot of factors, but we often had a good time with that. But Marty was always nervous because I'd say, I'm going up, and she would say, I'm staying in the car. That was the preference. And I would go up, and I was only up about 10 minutes when she would start looking at her watch, wondering if I would be back before the announcement was given that we're pulling in to our destination. I'm coming to that, Marty. Yeah, she has a what psychologists call an irrational fear that her husband's going to get lost. I don't know where that comes from. I have a few times. But one thing I've noticed on those ferry rides, it's always fun to be a people watcher and see all the people. And what I've noticed is, when it gets close to that time, or even after the time when the announcement is given that we're at the destination, you see people coming from upstairs down to the vehicle deck, and they have that look on their face. And you notice it because their eyes are kind of glancing from right to left and way out there and up close, and it becomes very obvious that they can't remember where they've parked. It's never happened to you, but it has me. Marty knows that look on my face, and so she'll remind me when I get to the car, when I find it. But it's interesting, you know, people jump on the ferry, drive on, and get off and relax and see all the scenery and have lots of fun, but somehow forget where they are, and then kind of are in a daze and can't seem to find their car, and they look all over for it, and eventually most of them find it. And I'm thinking, the church is kind of like that, you know. How is that, Pastor Charlie? Well, it seems we get on board in the church, there's all kinds of activities going on, things we take part in, and we kind of forget about why we're there. We forget kind of how we got there and where we parked and in our destination. And all of a sudden, we kind of shift into that daze, that glazy eye look. It happens in the church. I want us to reflect upon that as we go to a passage. We spent some 10 months. Marty and I have been here 13 months. It's hard to believe. We've been so blessed. We've learned a lot about prayer. We've learned a lot about depending upon God and God's people to do his work. But you know, we've worked together through the book of Ephesians. We spent roughly the equivalent of about 10 months on the book of Ephesians, verse by verse, kind of looking at the wonderful book that the Apostle Paul wrote. And we learned a lot about the church, about ourselves in the eyes of God, who we are, our identity in Christ. We've learned a lot about how to live this Christian life that the Lord has given to us by grace through faith, we've just learned a lot. The Apostle Paul knew that. The Apostle Paul spent longer in Ephesus as, if you will, an interim pastor, about 2 years' time, maybe a bit more, teaching, preaching the Word of God, seeing people come to faith in Christ, working with God's people, seeing the kingdom of God expanded. And it was a wonderful time, but it was a time of intense faith and trusting God to see the church built up. Paul went on 3 different missionary journeys, and he's writing in the book of Acts, chapter 20, and I want you to be turning to that passage right now. In Acts chapter 20, verses 17 through 32, we see a prayer, and we also see a desire of Paul as he brings together the elders, the church leaders from the church at Ephesus. He brings them together some roughly 30 miles away by journey, so it took a day and a half, maybe 2 days to get there by foot. He asks for the elders to come and meet with him because he has some important things to say as he will be leaving them and pursuing God's will in his life. We come to Acts chapter 20 to a passage I call Leaving Behind a Church but Looking Forward to Its Future. And that would be the theme that Marty and I have for you as a church today. As we finish up my last Sunday preaching, God willing, I'll be with you next week to eat some of that food that you didn't eat last week or whatever we had. But coming together to understand that we are leaving behind Olympic Evangelical Free Church, but looking forward to its future. My prayer and Marty's prayer is that you do the same. Whatever Bible you have in front of you, or tablet or cell phone, however you're reading it today, I want you to turn to that passage. And I want us to follow along as I read it. Let it sink into your heart and life. This is coming from a pastor who is pouring his life, probably for the final time, into this church called the Church at Ephesus. Here's what he said, beginning verse 17. Now from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to the Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I'm going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city the imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course in the ministry that I've received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all of you, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God which he has obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. And I'll stop there. That's not quite the end of his message to them. But I want us to look at this as the base for what we're talking about this morning. And it's a little different. This isn't a typical expository message verse by verse. But I want to draw out from this passage of Scripture three important themes that are there. Lessons, whatever you want to call them. But I want you to think of them being directed to you, to this church, as we study God's Word. If I were to share with you earlier, and I am, the big idea for what is found in these words of the Apostle Paul as he's inspired by the Holy Spirit, it'd be something like this: by the power of God and with the right priorities, the church truly has a hope and a future. Think of the power of God and the right priorities as we study this text. So let's look at the three top business items for this church that I would like to call unfinished business. Something that to this church, to Olympic Church, can also bring a hope and a future. Now, anytime a pastor leaves a church, he leaves with unfinished business. And that's certainly true of an interim pastor. It's true in work in general in many places. It's not everywhere that you can do a job, complete it, and then move on to something else. It's often when you're pouring your lives into people that you leave with unfinished business. Some of you have done that when you've moved from one place to another, giving thanks to the U.S. Navy or your employer or whoever. Some of you have experienced that simply by shifting jobs or schools, and you're leaving relationships behind. You're leaving jobs that need to be done behind. I call that unfinished business. Well, that's certainly true in the church. And I believe that I leave as your interim, leaving behind some unfinished business. So what is that unfinished business? Let's take a look at three different things that are spoken of in this particular passage of Scripture. First is develop godly leaders. Things that will bring a hope, a new hope, and a future to this church, to you. The first, if you look at verses 17 and 18, the Apostle Paul calls the elders of the church at Ephesus to come and meet with him. The Apostle Paul is now on his third missionary journey. He didn't really start the church or plant the church at Ephesus, but he had a role in helping it get off the ground, get it moving, get it ministering and growing through people coming to know Christ, people growing in their own personal faith in Christ. This really wasn't that long after Jesus Christ died on the cross. A few years, but it wasn't very long. We think that the church at Ephesus at this time was 15, 20 years old at the most. This church, Olympic, is, what, 34 years old now? Something like that. So it's actually a younger church than we are. But this particular church had its needs. It had business that needed to be finished before God and with his help. And in this case, there's unfinished business with the church leadership. He doesn't write a letter, in this case, to the church at Ephesus. He's done that. But he more wants to meet face to face with the elders, the church spiritual leaders, and talk to them and share with them what needs to be done, what is unfinished. Ran across a quote from John Maxwell, who does a lot of writing on Christian leadership. Listen to what he says. A leader is one who knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way. And I thought that kind of sounds a lot like our new mission statement in our pathway of discipleship. To know, to grow, to show, and to go. That's not where it comes from, I don't think. And certainly I didn't think of that until I just read that this week. A leader is one who knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way. The beloved Paul, as he is leaving behind the church at Ephesus, wants the leaders to understand the priority of knowing what they're all about as spiritual leaders and what the church is all about as the agent of God's kingdom, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And he wants them to understand some important things about people getting it in the church. And that's what I'm sharing with you this morning. You know, we have been spending a lot of time, you didn't realize this maybe, but on the leadership of the church, realizing that, at least when I came, and many people knew this before I came, that there was a weakness of the church in the leadership of the church. The leadership certainly wasn't perfect, but there were a lot of things that needed to be worked on. And not only that, a lot of things that need to be developed in the lives of the leaders, and especially in developing new leaders for the future of the church. My prayer is that the days of Olympic Free Church, having solo ministries with solo leadership, is over. Part of the unfinished business that I'm leaving behind is the need to really develop new leaders and to grow in that sense. The church will only grow in proportion to the leadership that is developed and matured within this church. One of the secrets to the Spirit-led expansion and growth of the early church was the equipping of ministry teams. The Apostle Paul worked with teams. He wasn't a solo guy. He worked with others. They worked together in unity for the sake of the church and all the churches that they ministered to. It's about teamwork, and that's still unfinished business. Part of my responsibility as an interim is to be a coach of ministries in the church and ministry leaders, but it's also to be a consultant to the church. And so I'm leaving the church with a report to all of you that talks about the future of the church from my perspective. Take it or leave it. It's there from my heart to yours. And I've also written a confidential report to the elders of the church that they'll be hearing for the first time this afternoon when we meet right after church. After all, what would an interim be like if I couldn't have at least one more meeting before I leave? Listen to this from the report that I've written. And I say this to encourage you all. Listen to what God has done. Part of the report reads, and this again is the interim pastor final report to the church. I'm not reading the whole thing, just a segment of it. A transition team was organized and put into service to assist the church leadership and the interim pastor in the interim period. This team worked hard and has completed its job that provided a groundwork for the calling of a new pastor and the next steps forward into the future that God has for Olympic Free Church. Without its work, the church may not still have a new mission statement, new core values, and a disciple-making pathway. More importantly, Olympic would not be ready for a new senior pastor. Transition team identified five essential ministries or ministry structures of the church: worship, community groups, children's ministry, student ministry, and global or local missions. These ministries will be guided by five core values developed by the transition team and church leaders: biblical community, praying community, loving community, missional community, and sending community. The elders in the transition team also developed a new mission statement. We exist to pursue God, love all people, and multiply devoted followers of Jesus. The transition team also developed the simple disciple-making pathway for Olympic Free Church that'll help all ministries accomplish the mission as guided by the values. Simply put, it says know, grow, show, and go. Transition team also helped to develop a simple church model for ministry and structure at this church. A simple church philosophy of ministry and model is beginning to shape some of the ministries. And the goal of this model is church-wide transformation of ministry structure. In the book Simple Church by Tom Rainier and Eric Geiger, the writers state the definition of a simple church moves people through the stages of spiritual growth, a straightforward and strategic process. The leadership of the church are clear about the process, that's called clarity, are committed to executing it. The process flows logically, that's called movement. It is implemented in each area of the church, that's called alignment. The church abandons everything that is not in the process. Focus. Not in the report, but let me emphasize, it's all about making disciples while we pursue God and love all people. Report continues. A pastor search team was created and was successful in identifying and recommending to the church a new senior or lead pastor after receiving over 70 applications from a variety of sources. Lord's willing, Olympic Free Church will welcome the new lead pastor, Mark Kernan, his wife Colleen, and son Tyler. The formation of a children's ministry team was approved. This team has helped resolve some of the conflict that has surrounded children's ministry in the past and is working on a coordinated philosophy and model of children's ministry for the church that helps accomplish the mission of the church. This is a work in progress. Children's ministry team is the first ministry team to be formed using a ministry team approach instead of a solo ministry leader approach. The goal is for all ministries to use a ministry leadership team model. And it continues. A very recent addition to OEFC is the formation of a student ministries team that will develop the disciple-making model for youth ministry. And then very early in my ministry, this church as interim pastor, it was determined that the current structures and processes are unclear, if not confusing. With this in mind, the elders team agreed to the formation of a constitution revision team that would focus on revising and simplifying the existing constitution bylaws of the church. This team began its work in February, and after much hard work and prayer, completed a proposal for a major amendment. This proposal is now waiting some changes made by the elders and council of ministers before it goes to the church membership for discussion and vote. And the report goes on. How many times is team said there? How many times is leadership referred to? Leadership is so important, and the Apostle Paul was very much aware of that as he met with the elders of the Ephesian church. There's unfinished business to be done at this church. Now I want to dig a little deeper and take you and just read a part of the report to the elders that I mentioned earlier. The elders, again, we'll see this later. I mentioned a number of areas of unfinished business that need to be at least looked at and prayed about, if not worked on. Two of them are leadership development and teamwork. That's just what we're talking about. And I say effective leadership development is an urgent need for this church. This is most visible in three areas: small group leadership, recruiting and equipping new leaders, and recruiting and equipping members of the Council of Ministers and ministry teams. After 13 months of interim pastor ministry, no plan exists for the recruiting of new leaders or replacing existing members. A foundation for effective leadership development has been laid with the identification of a disciple-making pathway, but that is not enough. A leadership development pathway needs to be developed from the disciple-making pathway of know, grow, show, and go, so that reaches students, that's junior and senior high level, seniors, and in between. It is recommended that a leadership development pathway is the outcome of the already developed disciple-making pathway be put in place at this church in 2018. Then under teamwork, this is what I wrote from my heart. A teamwork mindset for leadership of all ministries has begun primarily through some coaching, training, and written communication. However, the reality is that a few of the ministries have a working ministry team in place. Efforts have been made to only launch new ministries that have a ministry leadership team in place first. Children's ministry team and student ministry team are examples. An attempt has also been made to use a ministry leadership team in place as a go-ahead metric for measuring success in continuing ministries. You get the idea that there's some unfinished business that needs to be looked at in the life of this church. It's very important that we grab hold of what God's plan is for the church. And part of that plan is God never intends for the church to be led by one person, whether it be the senior pastor or an elder, or even an elder team or leadership team. It's about qualified church leaders being raised up continually in the life of the church, not just at nominating time, but throughout the life and ministry of the church, that is an outcome of making and multiplying disciples, devoted followers of Jesus Christ. I'm reminded of a quote by John Maxwell. He said, "The pessimist complains about the wind. The optimist expects it to change. The leader adjusts the sails." We need people who will help adjust the sails of this church as it moves forward in this ocean of turmoil in which we live, this opportunity that we have for winning people to Jesus Christ. It's very important that we grab hold of God's plan and what He wants for us as a church. Develop godly leaders. That's why the Ephesian elders were called to meet with the Apostle Paul. He wanted to help develop them one last time. Develop godly leaders for the church. The second one is found in verses 19 through 27. I won't read those, but it's Acts chapter 20. And I summarize it this way: proclaim the gospel message. Proclaim the gospel message. There is the unfinished business for the whole church of gospel proclamation. Now look at this text, verse 20. Paul says, "I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house." Opening God's word, sharing it, studying it, preaching it, is all part of God's plan for His church. We need to be about His business, proclaiming the gospel message. Look at verse 24. "Therefore I testify to you this day that I'm innocent of the blood of all of you, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God." We don't just focus on one little part of God's word in the whole life of the church. We want to focus on the whole counsel of God, the whole word of God, and teach and preach and share and counsel with that, especially the gospel, which is found in literally every page of the Bible if you look deeply enough into it. Many of you know by now that the first church I pastored was a church plant, and it was in Florida. Among several things Florida is known for, one is sinkholes. You know what a sinkhole is? Actually, some happen around here too. That's where all of a sudden what appears to be solid, firm ground gives way and a big old hole opens up in the ground. Sometimes you don't know how deep that hole is, but all of a sudden the foundation is knocked out from under you or your car or your house or anything, and the ground opens up and swallows it. They're called sinkholes. Do you know that structures in the church, if they've been around long enough, can become sinkholes of life and ministry? That they literally can swallow up the desire we have to serve God, the need that we have to have structures in place that facilitate ministry, that encourage us to share the good news of Christ. Structures is very important. You've heard it said in town hall meetings and elsewhere that one of the issues we've had to deal with over the last year or so has been the abundance of structures without a lot of ability to carry out the function that God intends for them. And there's a variety of reasons for that. But we need to get back to the essential message, the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel message. You are either a part of the mission field that is laid out in front of this church, or the mission force. You see, if you're not about sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, you need to receive the good news of Jesus Christ and discover it. And maybe renew your heart and mind and wrap your arms around it. It's part of the unfinished business of this church. The need to be a church that truly proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ. At the very beginning of this church, the first few years, it was all about reaching the greater community in the Kitsap Peninsula with the good news and providing opportunities. And lo and behold, as we saw when we looked at this together, we built this wonderful building, and all of a sudden our vision began to die out. And we lost the idea that we need to be where lost people are so that they may be found and come into the kingdom of God by grace through faith. The church isn't about the walls of this building. The church is about the kingdom of God advancing, because we as people in the church are going out into the community and reaching others with the gospel. That's part of the unfinished business that is mentioned in my report, particularly the one written to the elders, that we need to work on that as a church. You need to work on that. I don't believe you can seek and pursue God without soon finding out the heart of God. We see that in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Let's look once again at our Lord Jesus Christ. What is the gospel to Jesus? Is it not found in the heart of John 3:16? Is it not something we need to be so concerned about in this church that we mobilize every ministry we have so that it's a balance of reaching those of us inside the church and those who have yet to respond to Jesus outside of the church? Every ministry. The church needs to be all about that. And I think that's unfinished business. In one sense, I grieve when we complete our term here as interim, realizing there's so much work to be done. To say, please, church, your ministry is found outside the walls of this building, across the street, in the neighborhood, all over the county, even around the world. Don't get stuck inside where it's comfortable and safe. Proclaim the gospel message. That's the second unfinished business. These are priorities. Remember, I talked about the importance of priorities. What's the third one? You get toward the end of Paul's expression of his love for the church, and particularly to the elders of that church at Ephesus, and I believe to our church. And let's pick it up in verse 28. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. It's another term for elders, by the way. To care for the church of God, which he has obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night and day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. That's from the heart of the Apostle Paul. And I believe from the heart of God. You see, there's unfinished business for the church leaders, in fact, for the whole church, of loving what God loves. Let's think about the church for a minute. Do I need to remind you this morning that you need to love your new pastor? No, to really love him. Mark, Colleen, Tyler, they're not perfect. They might even disagree with you on a point or two of theology. But here's a man and a woman and a son who loves Jesus and wants above all else to serve him in this church. You get that? In this church, for you and for others who are yet to be a part of this church, but God willing will become part of this church. I want you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13 just for a moment. A little bit further along in your Bibles. Hebrews chapter 13, almost toward the end there. This church is, this passage of Scripture has always intrigued me. It's about the church and it's about pastors. Think in this case, lead pastor. Think Mark. And I just want to share that with you. Verse 17. It says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. You know what the Bible says? One of the jobs of the church is, in regard to its pastor, its lead pastor, is to bring joy into his life. Think about that. Maybe that's a new way of thinking. God's plan and God's will is to, for you to help bring joy into the life of the pastor and his family. Love your new pastor. Love your church's God-given mission. To pursue God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. To love all people. And to multiply, help multiply devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Learn to love that. It's from God's word. It's simply rephrasing or summarizing God's great commission and his great commandment. Did you see in verse 31 of this text how Paul wept over the church? John MacArthur has done a study on what caused the Apostle Paul to weep, to shed tears of grief and sorrow. Here's what he found. First of all, he wept for those who did not know Jesus. He so loved Jesus and the good news of Jesus that he wept over those who hadn't received him. He wept over the struggling, immature believers that were in the church. Those who, for whatever reason, weren't growing in Christ. And he wept over the threat of false teachers that would rise up. It's interesting in this text, it clearly says that the church will face opposition from people outside, but also from people inside the church. And every church will face that. It's enough to cause pastors and others to weep, tears of sorrow. Love God's church. Help protect this church that belongs to the Lord. Love his church. I need to kind of divert from my notes here just for a moment as we get close to the conclusion and share something from my heart. I had so hoped, this is my unfinished business, I had so hoped to meet with the leaders of our children's ministry team and our new student ministry team. Because I see a real danger that we have in our church. The danger is to put families in front of everything else. Friends, I do not see that in Scripture. I see the importance of the family. I see how God raised the family up as a blessed institution of God, and his desire is that all families are followers of Jesus. I see that. I get that. But I so wanted to share with the leaders of these teams, the importance of seeking God's will in regard to his plan and purpose. And it seems to me that the church is God's plan A. It's so easy to begin thinking the church is all about my needs when it's not. The church is about the needs of those without Jesus outside the church. The church is a place to worship and fellowship and come to know Jesus and to enjoy him forever. I don't think we're there yet. I don't think as a church we fully understand that. And I'm a parent. I have raised teenagers and lived to tell about it. Are they perfect? No. Can you protect your children from the world, the flesh, and the devil? Yes, sometimes, in some ways, but ultimately not. Can you give them guidance and direction? Yes. Is it the church's job to focus entirely on families? No, as I read the Word of God. About this point, maybe some of you are thinking, boy, I'm glad he won't be here anymore. But I think you need to deal with that as a church. And I think as you work with Pastor Mark and begin to pray and work through these issues, you'll begin to understand that. We love our young families here and the children. They're a great asset, and we want to see all of the just saturated with the gospel of Christ, living the gospel. But we also understand that the church is about people who are 90 years old and people who are 9 years old. It's about parents and grandparents. It's about single moms and people who are in a marriage relationship where one spouse doesn't know Jesus and doesn't follow Jesus, and yet one does. We live in a world of divorce, remarriage, that's all reality. We live in a world where we can weep like the Apostle Paul over those who are immature believers who need to grow up in Christ. Dear friends at Olympic Free Church, work together on that. This is unfinished business, and it really begins with the idea of the priority of loving God's church. There is a real danger of lifting anything above Christ and his church. And it might even be ministries that you lift above Christ and his church. Please don't fall into that trap. And if you do, repent and return to loving God and his church. And you cannot love Jesus without loving the bride of Christ. You can't say, I love the head of the church, but not the body. Love God's church. I think the Apostle Paul in this appeal to the Ephesian elders is appealing to them to love the church, even with tears in his eyes. I go back, you know, not many have been around from the beginning of this church, some 34 years ago. I think of our brother Sig, and his heart and mind have been so much into this church. I had a little chat with him about calling a new pastor, and Sig loves his church, and he's seen a lot happen in this church. And others have as well. Love the church. Develop godly leaders. Proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Love God's church. I want us to go to what I consider the big idea. I put it this way: by the power of God and with the right priorities, the church truly has a hope and a future. We studied together a while back from the book of Ephesians chapter 3. When we got to that part of the Word of God, we saw that it's at the very mountaintop of God's plan for his church. And it's about the ability of God to do what God wants to do in and through the church. I summarize for you from God's Word. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly above or more than all we can ask or think, according to the power at work within us, To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. Do you believe this for this church? For your lives? And working with our transition team, we saw a lot of answered prayer. We saw some breakthroughs. We saw a lot of hard work done. And you all and I owe them a great deal of gratitude for allowing God to work in and through their lives on behalf of this church and the people who aren't yet a part of this church but will become a part of this church. Here's what one of the members said. Early on, this goes back months ago, early on in our work as a transition team, this is what this person said. There is an amazing plan that God has for this church, and we are in it right now. With that word, I leave with you, and we will continue to pray for you as a church. Let me pray for you right now before the worship team comes up and leads us in one more song.